I'm very pleased to have Nancy Clem back on the show today. Nancy, from her own bio on her own website, says she is a steward of the earth. Now, I will accept that, and I know she is, because it's too hard to explain really what she does. Again, from her own website, she says she's an ecological systems designer, landscaper, horticultural consultant, permaculture grower, speaker, teacher. She has spoken internationally and nationally, of course. Her latest effort is something called the Ground Rules, which she describes as a unique community and earth building initiative. Well, it's about organic waste and how we turn that waste into something really, really valuable. So I'm happy to welcome Nancy Clem. Nancy, I would say good morning, but it's not the morning. It's the afternoon. How are you doing?
Oh, well, thanks.
We're speaking to you from your place, which is where, and describe it to the folks who are listening.
Well, I live both in Chicago and on conservation property west of Rockford in the Driftless area of Illinois. It's 50 acres, focuses biodiversity, but I also do a lot of growing here, some orcharding and some annual plant food production as well. It's a pretty wooded site. There's also an old agricultural field I'm reviving and 5 acres of restored prairie and a little creek that runs through. It's pretty diverse in its habitat, and there's a lot of animals I share this land with. So it's a real far cry from living on the west side of Chicago as well. Pretty idyllic out here.
And I assume that the west side of Chicago is where you're from.
Oh, no, I'm not from the west side of Chicago. I'm originally from a rural land northwest of Chicago. Okay. I'm a rural person that's moved to the city 25 years ago.
I've been in the city pretty much most of my life, so I know what that's like, but I don't know what it's like being out in the territory where you hang out. And you've used your land and your place to draw people in. For instance, you had a mycology conference there just last fall.
Yeah. Yeah, and this year I'm hosting the Nature Farm Camp that LNMR and Tim Magner are running.
So right. And I talked to Tim Magner earlier this year, and I guess that's one of the reasons you're here. The other reason is you just told me about this new campaign that you're running right now to raise money for your latest effort, but the fact that you open your lands to all these great initiatives says something. And by the way, for folks who are listening and don't know what mycology is, it's basically mushrooms, right? And fungi or fungi, however you choose to pronounce it.
Yeah.
We had that argument on my show before where we were trying to figure out, is it fungi or fungi? I have always said fungi, but some people say fungi. But as we all know, Latin is a dead language. It's kind of hard to prove which way it goes.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the Ground Rules. This is about the earth and restoring nutrients to the earth. But it's also about us and the food we eat and how we mismanage it, I guess, is one way to put it. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, sure. I've been growing. I came from a long line of horticulturalists. I'm a fifth generation horticulturalist, and we've been looking at anybody who's involved in horticulture is going to be looking at soil and how it supports the life of what we're in business with. And when I moved to the city and I started trying to work with soils in the city, I was really impressed at how ill-treated they were. And I focused a lot of my efforts when I was younger on food and medicine production in urban areas and setting up community gardens and doing a lot of production on my own in different kinds of settings. And but it all came down to soil. It was kind of our biggest barrier to growing well and also growing safely. And I would say maybe 10 years ago, I started shifting my focus from plants and more on the kind of microbiology structure and general health of soil. And it was a good time because that's when a lot of younger people started getting interested in food production in cities. So I, anyway, I've been focused on it ever since. And this project I'm working on is really trying to get people to pay attention to their waste streams, organic and otherwise, as well as kind of take responsibility for them, but also just really embracing them as the true wealth and for our soils. So that's what I'm trying to monkey wrench in people's minds.
when you say monkey wrench, you know, and a couple of things you said are interesting, one of which is you said you kind of moved from plants to soil. And there are people out there who are plant nuts. You know, they love to grow things. And yet you can't grow things unless the soil cooperates. And it's right. And it sounds like you decided to go one step up the line, which is, you know, you still love plants. And I know you grow a lot of stuff, but you realize that if the soil isn't good, nothing else is going to be good.
Yeah. I my hands are just kind of cramping and super stained right now because I've been actually working all day planting.
I should let folks know that you're sitting out there, and I can see you on the Skype here. And we had a couple of dropouts earlier. I'm not going to worry too much about it. Most of your stuff is quite understandable. But I can see the truck in the background, and I see a bale of hay. Is that what I'm seeing back there?
Yeah, that's some straw.
I'm sorry, not hay. See, and that's my city boy bringing up. There we are. Not hay, it's straw, and I should know that. It's straw. Duh.
But, I put in several hundred strawberries, and so I have to mulch them in. So that's what I'm going to do after this call. So I'm still involved in growing, but looking at soil is extremely important because both in urban areas and in our conventional farmlands, we've really collapsed the biological life and really destroyed the structure of our soils. And you know, where we are in the Great Lakes, we are kind of the envy of the rest of the world with our mala soils, these soils that have been produced by our original prairies. We have some of the richest and most productive soils and deepest soils there are in the world. And
yet we abuse them somehow.
And we abuse them in the city, and we abuse them in the country.
You know, it's interesting you should say that because talk about the city and how disturbed soils are. A friend of mine who works for a tree care company in the area once, and he said this to me 10 years ago. He said, you talk to people and they want to know about planting in native soils and so forth. And he said, there's almost no such thing as a native soil in an urban area anymore. There's certainly no such thing as disturbed soil in an urban area. And even in suburban areas, people think that they have native soil, but that soil's been disturbed too. Pretty much every soil where most of the people live in our country has been disturbed in one way or another.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and disturbed because of agriculture or just our ever-changing real estate ideas. And we've been, you know, human beings have been doing agriculture for quite some time. So soils are in various levels of disturbance and various levels of recovery from that disturbance. But, you know, in the city, the kind of the constant disturbance, compaction and deposits of inorganic chemicals and heavy metals is kind of over the top.
That's a really good way of putting it. It's over the top. And I don't think people understand that because they want to go out in their yard and they say, what should I do? Well, I should, you know, loosen the soil and start planting. They don't know what's there. They don't know what they're dealing with. And they don't know that it's been there for 100 years or 150 years and gone through all kinds of changes. Most of it not good.
Yeah.
And so here you are with this Indiegogo thing called the ground rules.
Yeah.
And I looked at your
soil.
Yeah.
The ground rules.
And I like the name, by the way, the ground rules. Very, very good. and I saw your video and you've got people on bicycles with hauling little wagons behind them with 5 gallon buckets in them. And the idea is to collect food scraps, or is that just a start? Explain the project, the ground rules.
Well, we've been collecting already. This is our second year, so we're up and running. We have a bunch of clients, and we've been rolling and building compost. So this is our second season, and we collect by bicycle as well as truck. We collected through the winter composted through the winter. It was very challenging, but we did it. We're in an intrepid group. And basically what we're trying to do is a lot of people who are calling themselves composters or composting businesses are basically just hauling waste, and they haul waste to one of the larger commercial facilities run outside of the city where mm-hmm. it's then processed. So we're different in two ways. One, we transport the waste and keep it local. We have 5 different sites in Chicago, and they're called soil centers. And in each one of these soil centers is kind of a large composting system. And what we do is we build compost there. The aim is to make these neighborhoods scale, or if we can get to the point of producing enough compost for neighbors to take advantage of it. We don't need to use any of the compost that we produce. We probably need 2-5% of it for the other half of what we do with the ground rules. But it's basically we build and compost and train others in how to build compost more efficiently and more ambitiously than they probably thought about doing before. The other wing of what we do is we do community bioremediation. So we have a community bioremediation demonstration site, and it's in its second year.
And where is that?
It's in Humboldt Park.
That's what I thought. That's the one in Humboldt Park. All right. Yeah, you have like 5 areas where you're working, yeah. Right? 5 sites?
Yep. And we're looking at two more that might be in play by June. So we're still in negotiations on those. But anyway, at the other thing we do is the community bioremediation. So what we do is we try to tell the soil story of the sites we're working on. And at this demonstration site, we're working with microbes in the form of compost that we build, which is where the 2 to 5% of what we build goes to. We work with fungi or mushrooms, and we work with plants, all in a kind of a system, that because they all work together in the world anyway. So we bring them together as part of our design strategy to address the contamination or heavy metal concentration on that site. So
Can I stop you for a second? What do you do when you find how do you remediate heavy metal sites? A lot of people just cap them. Are you doing remediation?
So we're doing community bioremediation, which is a long game and requires a lot of participation, but it's very low cost and accessible. And again, we're working with those tools called plants, microbes, and mushrooms.
So you actually are remediating, because as I pointed out before, and some folks listening to this might have never dealt with this, but let's say you find lead or arsenic or cadmium in your soil, and you live in an urban area. Some people say the only way to deal with that is you throw a layer of clay on it, and then you throw your compost on top of that. You're done, end of story, let's move on. Are you trying to remediate that soil that is contaminated?
Yes.
And as you said, that's a long game, isn't it?
It's a long game, but hey, it's our soil. And I think there's something, I think there's some responsibility to look at it and be curious about what we've done to it and see what we can do to help it along. Again, these are soils that most of them are disturbed. They've been imported for building projects, they come from someplace else. But it is what we have, and I don't believe that we should just cap and ignore and just build on top. I think we can do some explorations of what's here. So what's interesting about these remediation projects is that we're able to work with known remediators. All of them have white papers on them, so they're scientifically proven as remediators. But we're also able to do some experimental testing of other plants and mushrooms at the same time. And I think that's really important, because this is our planet, this is our Earth, this is where we live, and why not work towards making it healthier? So the historical research we put in on our sites, and for the, you know, the human use of the sites, the chemical tests that we do on the soil to find out what's there, the biological testing that we do, all of it is to tell the kind of a broader and deeper story of our neighborhoods.
Uh-huh.
So it's really interesting that each site has, a lot of the same contaminants, but the contaminants that are there tell the story of that neighborhood, because soil holds history of what we've done to it. So we're putting together a manual that should be done by the end of summer, that will talk about our remediation, and we'll also showcase these particular sites and what's happening at them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like case studies.
And this is something that could apply to anywhere in the world. Or, I mean, not in the world, but certainly in our country. I mean, these are methods that other people can use to remediate their own soil. Is that the goal?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of different methods that are being used by, like, First Nation people who are kind of stuck with the tar sands. There's a lot of remediation, community bioremediation happening in Canada because of the extractions. Remediation's happening post hurricanes, both in New York and in Louisiana. There's a lot of work happening on small scales in cities by different groups who are working with either lead paint or, you know, like in Detroit or in Albany, New York. I mean, so we're going to be telling stories, these case studies, and telling stories of different groups and having those resources there. And we're also going to talk about kind of more ambitious or more intermediate and advanced composting techniques.
So composting is this is not your father's composting operation, huh? It's a little different.
No, it's a little bit. Again, it's a little bit more. It's more consciously attended, and we build compost for different uses. So it's not just throw it in the pile over here. We're building different compost for different end uses.
This is Nancy Clem. By the way, she spells it N-A-N-C-E, pronounces it Nancy. I found that out in a show earlier that I did with you. And if you want more information about her, you can go to her website, which is spontaneousvegetation.net. Is there if they type in something else, will it get there, or is that where
You know, the other thing, the other website where I do, where that actually runs the ground rules, is called socialecologies.net, and that's kind of my ecological designing website.
All right, socialecologies.net. And if you don't get it out of this listening right now, go to my website, mikenowak.net. All that information will be there. And, of course, you spell my last name, N-O-W-A-K. And if you go to Indiegogo, what you're looking for is Feed Your Soil, the Ground Rules. And you can take that any way you like. There's a couple of ways to say the ground rules.
Double entendre.
Yeah, I love it.
The cleanest way.
So the goal is get people to not throw away, and as a lot of us have learned, there's no such thing as away anymore. You can't just throw stuff. And there's a program, I forget the name of the film that's going to be shown on MSNBC, I think it, Just Eat It is the name of the film, the documentary, and it's about the waste of food in our country. And this is one way to mitigate that. It's take this food and at the very least, let's create some soil out of it. Let's create compost and create biology, as you mentioned, the bio. And I often tell people it's the biology, stupid, because that's why you create compost. A lot of folks think, well, I guess I need to create soil. And my response is, no, you need to create biology. That's what compost is, the soil food web. That's what's going on in there.
Right, because soil's degraded rock. And compost is degraded organic matter.
Right.
So, yeah, minerals are coming from the soil and biology is coming from the compost. Those are often confused.
And that's a really good way of pointing that out. Now, we only have a couple more minutes, but I'm kind of curious. Are you finding it difficult in Chicago, and it's perhaps other cities will have the same hoops of fire that you have to jump through to collect food scraps and compost them?
Well, you know, it's interesting because everybody agrees that we need waste disposal. And so they're willing to pay for that. And our waste disposal is really cheap. So when you ask them to pay for this alternative waste disposal, there can be some resistance against that. So it has been a little harder, and some of the lower hanging fruit hasn't bitten, but the people who are alongside of us are fantastic, and they're really excited that they're paired with community gardens and urban farm operations where we have our soil centers. They're really excited to have their like sister sites within cities.
Yeah.
They're excited that they're helping fuel other projects in the city. And
I think the question I had in mind was what about city regulations? Which city regulations get in the way?
Well, I think you know, a lot of city regulations, whether it's on gray water or composting or other things that I'm a strong advocate on, they're there for a reason, and it's because people haven't necessarily done them well, and there's public health consequences to that. So I think trying to kind of relax the fears that city folks have, both citizens and policymakers have around people being able to do this well, so it doesn't attract vermin or create leachate or smell or any other nuisance, is kind of been one of the most difficult pieces to work on. So it's not so much the knowing that we need it. It's a lot of that kind of, you know, the ick factor.
That's the scientific way, actually, of putting it, the ick factor. And there is a lot of ick factor. And in fact, in Illinois, until just several years ago, food scraps were treated as toxic waste, basically. And we got to get past that kind of thinking. And as you said, there's reason for it in that the idea that we might spread pathogens of some kind is something to be taken seriously. On the other hand, we have gone so far in the other direction that we're terrified of our own food scraps.
And we're terrified of things that break them down, whether that's mold or bacteria or grubs of some sort.
Sure. I mean, millipedes and centipedes and roly-polies and all and all those things that are in a compost pile. And they're just doing their jobs, as I always
They're
tell
just
people.
doing
They're
their
just
job.
doing their jobs, like you're supposed to be doing your job. So, well, anyway, what have I missed here that you want to get across before we wrap up?
Well, I just want to say I'd be really appreciate contributions to Indiegogo, our Indiegogo campaign. We really need them to help fly this forward. And what we're doing, we've been working really hard, and we're still a little underfunded. But I'd also really invite people to join us in what we're doing. We need a lot of help. And so if people are curious about how to do bioremediation or want to learn more advanced techniques in creating some really uber compost, please contact us, and we'd love to get you out in the field and get you dirty.
and where would they compact? What's the best way to get a hold of you? Not compact, but contact you.
Through my sites, through both my websites, socialecologies.net, spontaneousvegetation.net, or through Facebook/ ground rules.
So Ground Rules also has a Facebook page, which
Yes,
is
you can find
great.
out what we're up to.
And as we said, you can go to Indiegogo, look for Feed Your Soil, the Ground Rules. Nancy Clem, always a pleasure. You are a font of information, and I've barely scratched the surface. At some point, I want to talk to you about gray water systems.
Ooh, goody.
All
I love dirty water.
I'm sure you
It
do.
also helps feed the soil microbes.
There you go. It's the biology, stupid.
Biology.
And now go pick up that straw back there and get your strawberries in, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Mike.